Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome on into your favorite show of the week. It is Sunday morning tailgate here at Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield sitting down in the big chair for you on this Sunday morning. Hope you got your coffee, your breakfast, and you're ready to go. Got a full slate of NFL action for you, all leading up to tonight's huge contest between your New England Patriots and the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk some DFS stuff, DFS recommendations. We're going to get into yesterday's college football action. Fantastic slate of games in the afternoon and the evening. But first, as we do, we're going to get into some news and notes. Before we do that, though, reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of websites. If a place is covering football, chances are they've got me doing some work for them. Let's get into it now. We're going to start, of course, with that Pats-Chiefs game, which is for tonight. We're going to get into the injury report right now. Got some important names on the injury list, the injury report, the final injury report for both teams. Let's start with the New England Patriots. No players listed as out on the final injury report, nor any players listed as doubtful. But a big group of names listed as questionable. Defensive tackle Malcolm Brown, limited participation in the last practice with a knee. Josh Gordon, limited participation in the last practice with his hamstring injury. Defensive end Neil Grissom, ankle injury, limited participation. Rob Gronkowski, ankle injury, limited participation. Chris Hogan, who popped up on the injury report this week, also limited with a thigh. Sony Michel, officially questionable, as are all these players, limited participation with that knee injury. Eric Rowe, limited participation with his groin injury, and injuries kept him out in the past couple of weeks. John Simon, shoulder, limited participation. And Danny Shelton, elbow, limited participation as well. Flipping gears now, let's look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They got some big names on this. Already listed as out, Eric Murray, safety with an ankle injury. DeAnthony Thomas, lower leg injury. He is listed as out, and he is actually gone for the season. He was placed on injured reserve. He suffered his second leg fracture in two seasons during practice this week. Tremont Smith will take over as Kansas City's kick returner. Doubtful. Eric Berry, safety with his heel injury. He has not practiced. It's going to be a stretch to see him going. He has yet to practice this season. Linebacker Justin Houston, their edge defender with a hamstring. He also has not practiced yet. And it's unlikely he's going to play Sunday night against New England, barring some sort of miraculous sort of recovery as the Chiefs travel east to the New England area. Questionable, linebacker Tano Kapasanon with his ankle injury as well. Limited participation. So those are your sort of Patriots and Chiefs sort of last-minute injury news on them. Spinning around the league here as we look for some of the other players league-wide, some of the other injuries that we want to either keep an eye on or reports coming in that please players are out. Some players that you're going to want to keep an eye on as we get into this 1 o'clock slate of games. The Carolina Panthers plan on having Greg Olsen against the Redskins here in Week 6. NFL Network's Tiffany Blackman reported late Saturday afternoon that Greg Olsen will play against Washington. Ron Rivera has been commenting throughout this week that Olsen should be a go. 49ers, they play on Monday night against the Packers. Matt Breida, he's going to be a game-time decision. Pierre Garçon, Kyle Shanahan expects to have him back. As for the Packers, Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison, they are both questionable for Monday Night Football. Coach Mike McCarthy this week called both players game-time decisions. And with Green Bay having a Week 7 bye, both players might get held out if the Packers decide to go conservative. We got a game in London, Seattle, and Oakland. Martavius Bryant came down with the flu this week. He's questionable for Week 6. If he can't go, look for Seth Roberts, Brandon LaFell to start on the outside along with Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson. Rams getting some good news here. Both Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp were cleared for Week 6. Both were full participants in practice on Friday. They were cleared yesterday morning. So the Rams will have their full arsenal of weapons on hand in what might be an interesting game against Denver. This might be one of those snow game shootouts. Some snow, some weather in the forecast in the Denver area for this game. I always like to see snow football, so that should be fun as well. Isaiah Crowell had a huge game last week against the Denver Broncos. He's now a game-time decision for Week 6 against the Colts. ESPN New York's Rich Cremeny expects Crowell to play through his questionable tag. He got in a limited practice on Friday after missing the last 2 days. Bilal Powell might be the smarter week six play if you've got sort of workload concerns about Isaiah Crowell. Deshaun Watson officially listed as questionable for week six against the Bills. There's no doubt over his status, though. He's going to go. He's a tough kid. Competitive toughness is the reason why I loved him coming out of that quarterback class. So I'd expect Deshaun Watson to be in the lineup. Kiki Coti, he has a hamstring, but he's been cleared for that game as well against the Buffalo Bills. Keeping around, spinning around for a couple more minutes here as we sort of look to, you know, what else is going on around the league here. Some other injury news and notes. I've been all aboard the David Njoku train this entire season, particularly with Baker Mayfield returning to the lineup. Report Saturday night from ESPN Cleveland. Njoku expects to see more targets this week. Rashard Higgins is sidelined. Njoku's pass game role should grow. John Ross, wide receiver for the Bengals. Fascinating game this week between, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. ESPN's Catherine Terrell does not expect John Ross to play this week. He's been questionable with a groin. He returned to limited practice after being a midweek downgrade in week five. The Bengals will take him to game time, but he might be held out one more game. Alex Erickson will probably play in three wide receiver sets if Ross is ruled out. Looking around, some other news and notes here. We talked about Cooper and Cups. We talked about, we haven't talked about yet. We're going to get into this in a little bit later with the DFS stuff, but Derek Willis for the Browns. He was placed on injured reserve. The Browns signed wide receiver Breshad Perriman. They were forced to make a correspondent move. Willis is out of the picture now. Rashad Higgins is out for Sunday. Jarvis Landry, Rod Streeter, Antonio Callaway, and now Breshad Perriman are their primary receivers. That's according to Mary Kay Cabot on Twitter. We're going to talk a little bit about Jarvis Landry. I think he might be a sneaky DFS pick this week. And finally, Cowboys defensive lineman David Irvin. He will make his regular season debut today. Irvin returned from suspension last week, but was not active. He's been dealing with off-field issues dating back to training camp. He's a great player when he's on the field, but he has not played in since last week 13. The Cowboys need a big boost on their their defensive line, and they would love if Irvin could come back and give that to them. That will do it for some news, notes, injury stuff here as we get rolling on this Sunday morning. Up next, my DFS recommendations as well as a look back at some of the stuff I missed. And a little bit later, I'm going to recap what was a crazy afternoon and evening of college football, including some quarterbacks standing out, some quarterbacks really continuing to slide. That's ahead on this Sunday morning tailgate installment of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Sunday morning tailgate edition of Locked On Patriots here on October 14th, week 6 of the NFL season. Getting you ready, everything you need to know for this day's slate of games. Leading up until tonight, the huge contest between the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to do our DFS fantasy recommendations right now for you guys and girls out there looking to play a DFS slate or lineup or lineups, as the case may be. Quick look back at last week. Not the best week. Not the best week of recommendations. Blake Bortles, who was our value pick, the QB spot, even though they lost, he was QB 11 last week in PPR league, so not too bad. Christian McCaffrey was your blue chip pick for running backs. He was RB 12. Stephon Diggs was your blue chip pick at the wide receiver spot. He was wide receiver 8 last week in PPR scoring. Everything else was a whiff, from Matt Ryan to Matt Breida. Jordy Nelson, Jordan Leggett, took a flyer on that one and kind of crashed and burned. But we forge on, my friends. I'm going to try. I know I don't always revisit the rankings from a week before, the suggestions from a week before, but in the interest of full and open transparency, I need to do more and more and more of that. So I'm going to make a note to make sure I come back each Sunday morning tailgate and let you guys know where I missed, because we got to be honest about our misses, and there will always be misses. Let's look at this week, though. We're going to start at the quarterback position like we always do. The blue chip pick is Matt Ryan again. I don't know what it is about Matt Ryan this season. I seem to be aboard the Matt Ryan train here. Going up against Tampa Bay. And obviously, look, Tampa Bay, they have struggled this year defending passers. You know, when you look at what Tampa Bay's defense has done against quarterbacks this year, they're giving up 28.9 points per game on FanDuel to opposing quarterbacks. When you look at this defense overall and what they're doing in terms of against, opposing offenses, this defense is struggling as well. You know, this is a defense that seems to have trouble getting off the field. You look at the passing numbers they've given up. You know, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, they're giving up over 358 yards per game. They're giving up a quarterback rating of 130.5, an adjusted net yards per attempt of 10.0. And their pass defense has contributed minus 71.15 expected points. That's over at profootballreference.com. This is a bad pass defense. 13 touchdowns, just one interception this year. Matt Ryan should have a good game. They are the only pass defense giving up an adjusted net yards gained per pass attempt over 10 yards. Everybody else is in the single digits. So I think Matt Ryan is going to hit this week. If we go sort of value pick, believe it or not, we're going to go with Sam Darnold. This Indianapolis Colts pass defense is a little wonky as well. You know, they're giving up over on FanDuel 20.9 points per game. You know, Darnold is just 6,800 this week on FanDuel. I think that's pretty good value at the quarterback spot. I'll let you do some stuff at other positions if you want to kind of go cheap at QB. And when you look at this Colts defense, you know, they're also struggling, giving up, you know, their expected points contributed as a pass defense, minus 35.06. Again, pretty bad. So, Sam Darnold wouldn't be a bad play there at the quarterback spot if you wanted to go a little bit cheap. Going to running backs, the blue chip pick here, believe it or not, is James White. You know, he's 7,100. There are running backs that are more expensive over on FanDuel. For example, you know, some of the running backs that are going to be costing you more: Todd Gurley, 9,500. Melvin Gordon, 8,800. Christian McCaffrey, 8,400. So there are guys that are more expensive, but I'm sort of putting them in that, you know, blue chip category because I've got an even bigger value for you a little bit later. But let's talk about this Chiefs defense. They struggle against running backs in the pass game. You know, we talked about it in the game day show. You know, when you look at this Chiefs defense giving up 31.9 points per game on FanDuel, you know, two running backs, they've given up, you know, 39 catches on 49 targets for 454 yards and three touchdowns. You know, I talked about sort of that seam angle route, that seam Texas route combination with Gronk and White. I think this is a James White week. So that's why I'm going James White. If you want to go cheap, Tariq Cohen. And maybe this is my Pro Football Weekly colored glasses clouding my vision here. But I've been studying the Matt Nagy, Mitchell Trubisky Bears a ton. I love the way they use Tariq Cohen in the passing game. Dolphins giving up 28.1 points per game on FanDuel to running backs. They've also given up three receiving touchdowns to running backs this year. You know, that's tied with the Chiefs. You know, 47 targets, 36 receptions. They've also given up four rushing touchdowns. Cohen's a big part of their offense. He's just $5,900 on FanDuel. And so if you want to go cheap at running back, but still get some good value for it, Tariq Cohen is a good play this week. Let's go to wide receiver. And again, I sort of tinker here with the question of blue chip because, you know, you could go, for example, Antonio Brown, $9,100. You could go Julio Jones. You know, if you want to talk about, again, that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, they're struggling against wide receivers. They're giving up 40.7 points per game. Every week, I did this last week, I mentioned, look, Julio Jones going up against a defense that struggles. Last week, it was Pittsburgh. This week, you know, it's Tampa Bay, 8,500. The problem is Julio doesn't get in the end zone. Steve Sarkisian, man, you're killing us. And so I look at Jarvis Landry, believe it or not. This Chargers defense giving up 36 points per game to wide receivers, 9 touchdowns to wide receivers this year. You know, they've given up 87 receptions to wide receivers this year as a team defense overall against the pass. You know, they're giving up 270 yards per game, adjusted net yards per attempt to opposing quarterbacks of 7.4, expected points contributed minus 29.88. It's a defense that struggles a bit. And Baker and Jarvis, they got a little thing going. And so when I look at this matchup for Cleveland against this defense, I think it's an opportunity. And so Jarvis Landry, he's 6,900 on FanDuel. There are going to be some more expensive players. We talked about some of them, you know, but I think that that would be a way to go. And another thing to remember here, you know, with the Cleveland Browns is that, you know, they're losing a guy, Derek Willis, that wide receiver who had that huge catch. He's out. Rashad Wiggins is out. Jarvis Landry and Antonio Callaway, that's like it. And so you're going to see heavy targets for both of those guys. This is a Landry week. I'd be all over that. If you want to go even cheaper, Mohamed Sanu. And for some of the reasons we talked about, you know, Jones not getting into the end zone, Julio not getting touches, you know, Sanu, he's just 5,800 against this Tampa Bay defense that, as we've beaten to death at this point, struggles in pass defense. And so I'd go there. Let's go to the tight ends, lock this out. I know he's hobbled with the ankle. I know it hasn't been a monster season for him so far. This is a good Gronkowski week, I think. That Chiefs defense has struggled. It struggles against running backs, like we talked about. It's also struggling against tight ends. 14.4 points per game on FanDuel. Just one touchdown to tight ends so far. But 47 targets, 33 receptions. That's third most overall in the league. Again, 14.4 points per game. You know, that's third most overall in the league this year against tight ends. Gronkowski going off at 7,900. I think it makes sense to me. And finally, I know I did it last week, but I'm going to do it again, and I'm probably going to regret it. Ricky Seals-Jones, just 5,000 against Minnesota, okay? Against the Minnesota Vikings defense that, believe it or not, has struggled. Believe it or not, has struggled against tight ends. 12.6 points per game on FanDuel. They've given up two touchdowns to tight ends this year. Seals-Jones and Rosen, like I said last week, even though I got burned on it, they've got a growing relationship too. You know, rookie quarterback, younger tight end. I mean, this is probably my, like, last ride or die situation with Ricky Seals-Jones. So we're going to do it this week. Hopefully he pans out. If not, I'll own up to it next week. So those are some of the DFS recommendations. I got to remember to get my lineup in now. I'm with some combination of these guys and some others. If you do play this week, play responsibly. I wish you all the best of luck. Coming up next, we're going to take a look back at yesterday's college football slate of games. That's ahead on this Sunday morning tailgate edition of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you. Now I'm going to close it out with some quick recap of yesterday's college slate of action. And it was a fantastic, particularly afternoon into evening slate. And that, like, sort of 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. time block really sort of gave the remote a workout during that period of time. I mean, what you had going on, you had UCF Memphis going down to the wire. You had LSU Georgia. That game was going down. You had, you know, that Washington Oregon game going into overtime. You've got Michigan State Penn State, you know, going down into late into the fourth quarter. And so a lot of interesting games. We'll start. I kind of want to start for my own particular reasons here. What is going on at Auburn? I mean, that we're hearing some bad things now. It seems like a locker room sort of turning on each other right now. Obviously, Auburn, they lose to Tennessee at home. Just a bad game for Auburn. They dropped a 4-3, 1-3 in the SEC. And this is an Auburn team that many, myself included, were fascinated to see watch this year because you're hoping, look, Jarrett Stidham might sort of make the leap, right? Well, look, it doesn't look like that is going to happen. You know, Stidham in that game, not the best performance yet again. 28 of 45 for 322, two touchdowns, two interceptions. QBR of just 23.9. John Ledyard over at the Draft Network as well as Locked On NFL Draft tweeted out, Jarrett Stidham just ain't it. I don't know what it is, but Jarrett Stidham just ain't it. And so I don't know what Stidham does. I mean, you know, he's just a junior, so he could go back and try to fix things. But for the year, just five touchdowns with two interceptions coming into this game. And so, you know, actually, I take that back. Yeah, five touchdowns, two picks coming into this game. Now he's got 7-4 on the year. You know, completion percentage isn't exactly great. It's just not good things. Also not good things. Me. And Nebraska, my Nebraska fandom is getting just a tough test this year. Nebraska actually had the lead against Northwestern You know, they were up in the fourth quarter of that game, and they just can't finish it. They can't finish it. You know, the game goes to overtime. Northwestern with the comeback. You know, they nail a field goal in overtime to take the lead. Clayton Thorson, 41 of 64 for 455, three touchdowns. Big day from him, but I just can't figure out this Nebraska team. And the rebuild is going to take some time, it looks like. Some other big scores, some other stuff to look at. LSU just sort of taking it to Georgia. A fantastic win for Ed Orgeron and that program. You know, LSU 36, Georgia 16. That game down in Baton Rouge. I know the guys from Stick to Football on that podcast, they were down there. You know, Jake Fromm, you know, he goes 16 of 34 for 209, one touchdown, but a severe lack of pocket presence. He also throws two picks. Georgia had a chance to sort of get right back into this game, but he takes a really bad sack. They had a chance to take advantage of some good field position in that game. You know, it was a 19-9 game, and he takes a 9-yard sack on a 3rd and 6 at the LSU 34. Worst case scenario, you've got a good kicker. You know, your kicker, Rodrigo Blankenship, he's a good kicker. He could make that. You know, you can't take a sack in that situation, but he did. Then they're forced to take a delay of game to get more room for the punt. You know, and then LSU goes right down the field. 6 plays, 86 yards, and a touchdown. And what could have been, you know, worst case scenario, 19-12 game, it's 26-9. And just bad. I, you know, was texting with some friends, made the point that, look, Jake Fromm's pocket presence is worse than my cat's. At least it was on that play. So that tough loss for Georgia. And you do wonder, look, do we see some Justin Fields now? You know, the young freshman quarterback for Georgia, a true freshman, very talented kid. So that was an interesting game to see play out. Washington, Oregon, probably the game of the afternoon. You know, tremendous sort of quarterback battle between Jake Browning from Washington, the number 17 in the country, going on to take number 17 on the Oregon Ducks. And Jake Browning goes 15 of 25 for 243, one touchdown, one pick. Justin Herbert, 18 of 32 for 202, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Browning might have had the better numbers, but it's Justin Herbert and the Oregon Ducks who come up with the win in overtime. This was a game that was basically, you know, even back and forth. I mean, you look at it, you know, it's 10-10 at the end of the first, 17-17 at halftime, you know, 24-24 at the end of three. Neither team scores in the fourth quarter. Then Washington gets a field goal in their possession. Oregon, they score a touchdown to win it in overtime. Fantastic win for Oregon. That SEC, it's shaping up to be a fascinating conference, seeing how that's shaken out. Other scores of note, other stuff of note here. UCF, you know, they get sort of taken, you know, to the final minutes here, you know, against a game Memphis squad. That was a game where Mackenzie Milton goes 17 of 29 for 296, one touchdown in that game. You know, this was a game that at halftime, it was 30-17. Memphis at the half, but UCF, you know, they score 14 unanswered in the second half to pull out the victory. Big win for them. Florida looks surprisingly decent. You know, they get a win over Vanderbilt, 37-27. Other games of note. This is the other one I wanted to come back to. Penn State and Michigan State. This is a game in Happy Valley at Beaver Stadium, but it's Michigan State, the visitors, who come up with the victory 21-17. They get a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Brian Lewerke, you know, finds Felton Davis for a 25-yard go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. Kind of a big game, kind of a statement game from both Michigan State. Their head coach, Mark D'Antoni, was kind of under the hot seat. Big win for them. Brian Lewerke, big game from him. You know, 24 of 52 for 259. So the average, just 5 yards per attempt. Not great, but two touchdowns, including the sort of go-ahead TD, you know, late in that game for the win for Michigan State. Excited to see the Werke up here in a couple of weeks down at College Park as the Michigan State Spartans, they come east to take on the Maryland Terrapins. Going to be excited to see that game. So that's kind of a recap of what was the afternoon in college football. That will do it for today's show. That will do it at least for the first of today's two shows, because let's be honest, I'm going to be back here as soon as I can once this game goes final tonight. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, undefeated Kansas City Chiefs, coming to Foxborough to take on the Patriots, shaping up to be a fantastic day and night of football. Enjoy all the games, everyone. I will be back later tonight, hopefully, fingers crossed, with a glorious victory edition of the Locked On Patriots podcast. Either way, until next time, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.